Welcome to Digging Deeper, a podcast of Christ Church, South Philadelphia. In this podcast, we seek to equip our members to live out their faith in the everyday stuff of life. I'm Matt.
And I'm Jeff.
We are pastors at Christ Church. Welcome to episode 14. Jeff, looks like you're getting ready to go away here for a few days. What's going on?
I'm out. COVID has me done, and I'm just going to go abandon life, and I'm quitting. I'm quitting. So, joking. I am, just going away for a couple days to pray and seek the Lord's direction for, for our church, for ministry, what this looks like. There's lots of directions, just more opportunities to do mission than we have resources to fulfill it, and so just want to pray and seek the Lord, and I'm bringing along with me, 30 some friends, maybe something like that.
Yeah, it looks like each stack, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, about 10. You might be up to 40 here.
Okay.
So you got a stack of about 40 books.
Yeah, but I call them friends because that's what I really believe a book is. A good book is, it's not authoritative, right? It's not God's word. It's leaders that I can go away with, that I can hear their thoughts on leadership, hear their thoughts on seeking God, hear their thoughts on mission, and just have a great dialogue with them. So that's how I view books, as talking with good friends. And so I'm bringing, about 40 friends with me, and look forward to just doing some deep dives, really thinking hard, praying hard, and seeking God for our church.
Yeah, this looks good, man. Got some good books here.
Yeah. Well, don't get too distracted. I know how much you love
books.
Yeah,
yeah. Also, I want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Well, I know this has, and the reason we bring this up is we're going to do this, I think, a little bit shorter, right? Because you're heading out a little bit.
Yeah, I am heading out, so, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's jump right in and dig deeper to from our message on Sunday. So you preached out of Ecclesiastes and was on just the importance of community. But before we started, I did have a question. You mentioned about that Angie had gotten some planters for Christmas, and how you haven't hung them up yet, and you did put out kind of an SOS call for help. Has anyone responded to that SOS
call? No one has responded.
Wow. Okay.
Shows you how much I'm loved.
Man, I thought you'd say, I had like 10 people offer to planters.
No one offered to come help me hang planters. No one apparently cares about me or my plight. I don't even, my problem is I don't have a, I don't even know what they call it, a masonry drill, a hammer drill, or something. I don't even have the right equipment.
So is this when say planters, like, is this like, outside your window?
Yeah, like outside your window, like door, like underneath the windowsill type
like
thing.
You flowers in there. And,
I mean, it's probably as simple as like drilling a couple holes in, but I don't have the right drill.
Yeah, if I were you, I wouldn't try that.
No, but I don't have the right drill. I don't know what I'm doing. So, what are you doing next weekend?
Help
me hang some planters.
Potentially, I could. I think I have my.
You heard it here,
I think I have a higher skill level of do-it-yourself than you, but it's not.
I agree.
It's not Steve Kroll or anything. I'm like,
well,
Steve Kroll's.
I would love to have Steve Kroll, but he is, he's on lockdown, man.
Yeah,
so he is an undisclosed location.
Yeah. Normally, I'm his apprentice. I kind of just get his drill for him, and just he tells me what to do.
Yeah.
So
now you got some skills. If there's other people who have skills, I'm putting it out there. Yeah. Jeff at ChristChurchSouthPhilly.org. Send me your resume. I would love to let you come and serve my family. So.
Nice.
No, yeah. I should do it this weekend. I should do it myself. I know. It's just I'll find a drill. I'll figure it out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, hopefully we hear from some people for you. Yeah. But about the message.
Okay.
So we talked about community. One of the most difficult things about community is that it's difficult, right?
True.
There are going to be times when you want to quit. There's times where you want to kind of pack up your toys and go home.
Yep.
And I don't, say this mockingly. Sometimes, people have experienced genuine hurt at churches.
Right. Absolutely.
How do you keep on going in community, I guess, is my first question. How do you stay committed to it when I think you're at some point you're going to run into the fact, I just want out, whether it's, someone hurt you, or even sometimes we just grow bored, right? Just like, hey, man, I want, new scenery,
Yeah. This kind of came up in the Q&A we had after church on Sunday, but I'm grateful to be able to talk more about it because, you know, to have some more time to think about it. So, not that I knew this question in advance, but that, I don't know. I give all those answers to the Q&A on Sunday, and then I go back. I'm like, did any of that make sense? And try to rethink in my mind. This is one of the things I was rethinking. And what I said on Sunday, and I still think it's true, that if you've been hurt by it, the only way to get past or to process past hurts is to have new experiences. And so the only way, if you've been hurt by community, the only way to kind of heal from that is to get involved in a new community and have new experiences. So I do think that's an important part of it. The imagery is used, and I think C.S. Lewis used it, is like, hey, yeah, you can take your heart and kind of lock it away if it's been hurt so that it never gets hurt again, but then the heart becomes stone and you know, doesn't feel anymore and it dies. And so part of putting yourself out there is that, yeah, you're risking getting hurt, but it's worth the risk to have a heart that feels. So I think that's kind of what I said on Sunday, but I think since then, I'd want to say a couple other things. And really I'd want to start with God. And I'd want to say that God has said it's not good for us to be alone. And so fundamentally it comes down to, like, do we believe God's word? Like, are we living under his authority? If we're saying that, like, we can do life without community, then we're living in rebellion to how God has said that we are to be wired. And so, again, that's not to say, listen, if you've been hurt, like, there are unhealthy communities out there. Get plugged into a church that will care for you, not perfectly, but 'cause no church does. But, but at the end of the day, there has to be a conviction that I can't be who God has made me to be by myself, you know? And you cannot do what God's called you to do by yourself. You can't be who God's called you to be by yourself. You can't even know God the way God wants you to know him by yourself. We need other people to show us Christ. So it has to start with the fundamental understanding that God has said it's not good for us to be alone. And so we have to have a conviction that what God says is right and true. And so even when I'm like, don't feel like making the effort to relationships, or I'm bored with relationships, or if I've been hurt by relationships, I need to go back to, well, this is how God says I'm wired. And so maybe I need to make changes. Maybe I need to do something different. But community needs to be part of every single person's life, or else we're not experiencing life as God intended. And that's part of it. And then the other part of it is, like, looking to God, you know? I think that there's a part of not just looking for God for what he says, but looking to God for who he is. And so when we're, like, how do we find the power to forgive one another? By looking how we've been forgiven in Christ. How do we find the power to love one another? By knowing how we've been loved in Christ. How do we find the power to persevere with one another and endure with one another? Because Christ has endured on our behalf. And so if we want to have staying power in our relationships, it's not just about having a conviction about what God said is right. It's about also finding the power for that in Jesus Christ and in the gospel. And I think a lot of times people don't have staying power in the relationships because they're not applying the gospel to those relationships. So, you know, people who get offended and take their ball and go home, that's not the gospel. Gospel calls you to go and be reconciled. Mm-hmm. You know, the person who's bored and just disinterested, that's not the gospel. The gospel endures and perseveres, right? And so I think the gospel speaks directly into how God has made us as a person in community. So I think, you know, those are kind of be, maybe to sum up, three level answers. Like, one, starts with obedience to God. He says that we need people. Two, we need to understand, yes, we're risking hurt, but it's worth the risk because that keeps our hearts soft. Three, the only way we can really do it is with the gospel at the center of it.
That's good. Glad we kept the streak going with another C.S. Lewis quote.
Oh, man. All unplanned, unscripted.
Yep, unscripted.
You squeeze me, that's, man, what comes out.
Yeah, I think I need like a book of just C.S. Lewis quotes. I'm sure there's one. Drop some C.S. Lewis. You always just sound wise. But. That's good. I guess when you're saying that, like, I know we're a little bit short on time, so I'm kind of hesitating to drill down deeper, but I guess how do you differentiate for the person that's been hurt and, you know, okay, so there are toxic environments,
yes,
but then there's times where it's just the everyday, like, you know, conflict we run in, as, you know,
right,
as sinners get to know sinners, we,
right,
you know, so how do you, like, know the difference where it's like, no, you're called to stay and work this out and reconcile,
yeah,
versus like, no, you're called to, you got to get out there, get go somewhere else where it's a, you know, more healing environment.
Well, I think scripture gives us a category for that. It says, you know, don't cast your pearls before swine. So the idea that, like, some people are just pigheaded and don't want to do anything. And if someone's going to be pigheaded and doesn't want to work with you, then there's a point where it's like, that's a toxic person. And they're not going to change and move. Like, part of reconciliation is two people moving towards each other. So, you know, if I go to you, you know, and have, you know, an issue, or put the other way, it's probably easier if you have an issue with me, because I'm more of a sinner than you are.
Yeah.
So if you come to me and, like, you know, Jeff, I have this issue with you, if I'm not responding to that and I'm just arrogant and defending and, like, fighting you, and I do that, like, every single time you bring me something, there's probably at some point where you're like, all right, bro, like, deuces, peace out, you know?
Well, and I would add into that, right, to second, you know, Matthew 18.
Right.
So go to you, then
we'll
then
go to
bring
me.
Other.
Right, absolutely. You don't do it right away, but you go to me, then you bring other people, then, you know, eventually, if it's, you know, grievous enough, you tell the whole church. There'll be a whole process there, Matthew 18. But that's the point, is that, like, yeah, there's a process to, like, walk away from toxic relationships. I think how you know it's toxic relationships is an unwillingness to change.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If they're unwilling to change or to see that they're wrong at all. And not that they're, maybe you're wrong when you're bringing it, not that you're always right, but there has to be a give and take. In every relationship, there has to be a give and take. So something that we say here a lot at Christchurch is that, like, we can't promise that anyone, you know, that we can't promise that if you come to our church, you will be sinned against, because we're a church full of sinners.
Yeah.
But we're also a church that's full of the gospel. And so we're going to work through that, believing in the power of forgiveness, mm-hmm. believing in the power of confession, and believing in the power of love. So I think in any relationship, you can't promise that you won't sin against someone. But it's like, what do you do when that happens? And I think that's the difference. It's not, oh, this person's a sinner. But, like, we're all sinners. We're all going to hurt one another.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more about what happens after the fact. Is the gospel being applied or not?
Yep.
And if it's not being applied, if there's no confession, and if there's no repentance and change, then I think, you know, you're probably more in a toxic situation. You got to think about that. And I think it's true for churches too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, a lot of times the question I get is, how do I know when I'm ready to leave my church? Well, you should stick with it. You know, church is family. And I think people leave churches far too easily and far too soon. But how do you know a church is toxic? Well, if they've moved on from the gospel. Like, yeah. One, if they're not preaching it, they're not teaching it, they're not equipping you to live it out. And then also, like, go to leaders. How do leaders respond? You know, are they willing, you know, if you're under a church and a leader's never made a mistake, you're in a toxic church, because to lead is to make mistakes. And so how do they respond? What do they do when they do make mistakes? So I think it's all about response. That's how you tell the difference. It's mm-hmm. all about response.
Mm, that's good. If someone wants to think a little bit more about, you know, what does it look like to, you know, resolve conflicts biblically, any resources you'd point them to?
Peacemaker by Ken Sandy is kind of like the classic work on that. And mm-hmm. so he even has, like, a kid's version, Young Peacemakers, that is honestly, like, probably great if you just get through that.
Just go through that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's phenomenal. And it kind of walks through different stages of a conflict, and then you know, how it kind of gives you, like, a process to engage reconciliation. Yeah, honestly, that's kind of like the gold standard. I don't know. Would you recommend anything else?
Matthew 18.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, you know, he's really fleshing that out. We have our home peacemaking for families. So just another, you know, iteration of
especially
it.
Especially Ken Sandy,
yeah,
man.
Ken
just
Sandy.
Get down with Ken Sandy.
Yeah. I'm trying to think anything else.
Yeah. That's all right.
Yeah.
We can have just one recommendation.
Yeah. No, I'm sure there's a lot of good stuff
sure.
out there, but yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go with the one recommendation. All right, well, your second point was in the message, two are better than one when you fall down. And, you know, it's kind of funny. You mentioned us here in South Philly, we have potholes. And, you know, it just made me think as I was walking to church, you know, maybe this was about a month ago, and I was walking with my daughter, Isabel. And next thing I know, I'm tripping on the sidewalk and, like, flying through the air. And it was like one of those moments where it's like, slow motion, like everything, like, all right, I'm heading down. What is going on here? I had a backpack on my back, and, like, you know, I landed, I ripped my pants, I cut my hand, you know, I couldn't even, like, and my daughter's reaction was just, like, priceless. She just turns around and looks at me, and she just says, Dad, you fell. And it's like, It's like, thanks, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, so just give, when you mentioned in South Philly, we know about falling.
We know about falling.
Yeah, so it made me think about that. I don't know what hurt more, my bloody hands, or now that my daughter constantly lectures me that I need to look where I'm going. But
that's funny.
Yeah, but so you quoted 1 Corinthians 10. It says, you know, if anyone thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. So, you know, how do we guard ourselves against falling? You know, it says take heed. So how do we do that?
Well, I think that's, first of all, just being right there, being aware that you can fall. I mean, the point of that passage is that if you think you stand strong, like you're the most one who's in danger of falling, because you're going to not be looking. So I think if we're aware that we can fall, that produces a couple things in us. One, we're watching where we're going. Like, if I think I'm invincible, I don't need to walk. Like, Superman doesn't watch where he's going, you know?
Yeah.
He doesn't need to. But if I'm aware that, no, I live in South Philly and I could trip over my own feet. Yeah. And, I mean, some of us, I guess, are a little more prone to that than others.
He's still got the scars.
You know, but you're watching where you're going. You know, we should watch where we're going. And so if I'm aware that I could fall, I should watch where I'm going. So I think just be aware that, like, sin is lurking around every door.
Mm, that's good.
I don't put myself in situations expecting that I'm going to be strong enough. I stay away from situations, you know? And so, you know, I don't try to, I can, anytime I'm thinking like I can handle this,
mm-hmm.
I'm probably not in a good place.
Yeah.
You know? I'd rather think that, hey, I can't handle this. So let me like stay away from it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's one thing, just to watch, to guard yourself. And two is just dependence on God. You know, like, I'm not going to go through life thinking, like, I got this. It's like, no, I want to go through life thinking God's got me. And so I need to be empowered by him, because, as Paul will go on to say in 1 Corinthians, you know, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong, so that I might know the sufficiency of Christ. You know, an important part of being a Christian is recognizing that we're weak. And that's not so we stay wallowing, we stay down, like, oh, I'm so weak, I just can't do anything. It's like, no, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Mm.
And we realize that, yeah, when I'm emptied of myself, when I'm emptied of, honestly, self-confidence, that gives me greater confidence, because now my confidence is centered in Christ and what he can do. And Christ is Superman. And so, you know, I'm, you know, we're living out of his power, not our own power. That's how we live powerfully. So I think that being aware that we always need to be watching and guarding, and two, we need to be dependent always on Christ. Yeah, I don't know. Would you add anything to that?
No, that's good, man.
Yeah, caught him unawares.
Yeah, yeah.
He's still thinking about his fall.
Yeah, no, you caught me checking a an email real quick here.
Oh, there you go. Oh, yeah. See, it comes out.
Sorry.
Uh huh.
Yeah, no, it was. Can't add anything to that. My apologies for
that's all right.
With that though, you went into a lot about, okay, you fall, you know, now we're looking to, you know, how do you help someone be restored? And that was all great. You know, and that's our goal is restoration. But, what about the person that doesn't want help getting back up? You know, they've fallen and they don't really want you to help them.
Yeah. I'm glad you asked that, because, it's one of the things that kind of hit the editing floor for the sermon, but, something that needs to be talked about. I do think that a huge problem in Christianity is misapplied forgiveness and restoration that turns into enabling sinful behavior. And when that happens, we're no longer, if we're just like, oh, this person keeps sinning, and we just keep forgiving, and we don't, you know, ever hold them accountable for their actions, ever allow them to experience the God-intended consequences for their actions, then we are not loving them or caring for them. So I think real simple. 1 Thessalonians says, he who does not work does not eat. And so if we are allowing someone to freeload off of us, live in our home, rent-free, grocery-free, like, oh, we're just trying to help them have a hard time. Well, no, you're actually hurting them, because they should be learning skills and how to adapt to living life on their own. I mean, obviously, there's, you know, disabled children and elderly parents. So I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
There's people who need, you know, through no fault of their own, need help. But if you're an able-bodied person And let's be honest, you know, a lot of people who say, you know, I won't go down that rabbit trail, but there's a lot of people who say they're not able body, but come on, man, like, you know, how hard is it to bag groceries at ShopRite? Like, everyone can be working, doing something. Most people.
Yeah.
Most people. Again, I'm qualifying. There's obviously people who can't, and you know, but I think a lot of people, you know, we enabling that, or like the person who, you know, just keeps taking someone back, you know, maybe they keep betraying your trust again and again and again. At some point, it's like, hey, it's on you for continuing to trust them, and you're not serving them. Like, they should actually experience having to earn. If you just give trust and you just keep giving trust, you're not serving them because they're not learning how to earn trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so they never learn the skill. And so I think, you know, the way I think about it is, if someone isn't, you help someone who's willing to help themselves, right? Like, you offer a hand up, not a hand out. And part of a hand up is, like, they're going to want to come up. They're going to want to be restored. Like, I think a real way that I can tell when someone wants to, you know, really change is they're, like, asking, like, what do you think I can do? How can I pray with you? What does this look like? And they're, like, being proactive as opposed to, like, you being proactive, you know? And I think if someone's just kind of, like, willing to sit in their stink, we practice the discipline of presence and patience. So presence in that we never cut anyone off. Like, I'm still here. I still love you. And I'm being patient. I'm ready for when you're, you know, when you're ready to get help. But if you're trying to constantly pull someone up who doesn't want to be pulled up, you're just going to throw your back out. Like, you're just going to hurt yourself, and you're not going to do them any good. So, I mean, I think, for example, I had a relationship with someone who, you know, had, was living on the streets. We'd gotten him into detox, got him into rehab, gotten him into, you know, our residential facility. He was doing great. And then he decided he just wanted to go back out and live in the streets. So I practiced the power, the discipline of presence. Like, I went and I found him and I said, hey, man, I'm here and I'm showing up for you. I showed up for him, you know, every week. I'm here. Are you ready? Are you here? Are you ready? And the answer was no, I'm not ready. Well, guess what? Until he's ready, I'm not giving him money. Until he's ready, I'm not even giving him food. Because guess what? I would tell him, yeah, I'm just really hungry. Great, bro. Would you like to get my car and me take you back to the house? Because there's a meal waiting for you there any single day. And you're welcome all the time. No, I want to stay. Okay, if you want to stay out here and you want to keep engaging in this sin that you're in,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you don't want any help, then I can't enable that. Mm-hmm. I can't sit there and help. Like, you know, you're asking for I just need someone to help. I'm willing to help. You just want help on your own terms. That's not really wanting help. So I do think that there's a part where sometimes the way you have to help someone is let them, the Bible's clear on this. He who does not work, like, work should not eat. What's it saying there? It's saying that if you're going to sin in such a way, there's a natural outcome to that sin. And sometimes you need to let people experience it.
Yeah.
You know? And it's hard.
It's hard, yeah.
I mean, especially for parents or family members, spouses. It is hard to see someone that you just care about so deeply, love with all their heart, but at the end of the day, if you really love them, you have to be willing to be there, to always be there, to never turn your back on them, but to be patient until they're ready. We can't make someone ready to change. They have to be ready to change on their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that could be such a trial for folks that are going through that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we don't just have, you know, we have family support groups. Like, we talk about this in small groups. I'm thinking about certain situations right now where there's just, you know, family members who are watching people go through something really hard, and what they're doing right now is they're still taking their calls, they're still talking to them, and then we're caring for this, you know, this person in small group and just praying for them, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard. It's a child walking watching their parents. Their parents aren't willing to do anything, aren't willing to change, and the child just kind of like, all right, I can't change this for them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what do we do? What's our response? Well, we pray for the child, and we pray for the situation. Like, we just try to bear that burden with them in prayer.
Yeah.
So it's hard. It is hard, man. And that's why we need community around us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I like that, you know, you said, what was the two P words you used? Presence and what was
patience.
And patience. And just for exercising that for the person going through that has a loved one, just being there,
right.
You know, chances are they don't need your advice.
Right.
They
right,
need
right,
your,
right.
You know, you just to be there and say, how you doing? And
yeah.
Just yeah.
Yeah, just care for them.
Care for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I read a you know, just another book recommendation. It's called Letting Go: Rugged Love for Wayward Souls by Dave Harvey. It's just about prodigals. So it's just it's just a helpful book to go through.
Yeah,
so.
And that's I haven't read that book, but I mean that's what the prodigal father does, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He lets the son go, and the son has to kind of go through the party, eat with the pigs, until he's ready to come home to the father's love. And when he does, what'd you watch? The father was our faithful presence. The father's there.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The father's patiently waiting. So he's a presence and he's patient and he welcomes, but the son had to make the choice to come home.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. How are we doing on time here? Are we out of time?
Yeah,
or?
I think we're running up against it. I've got, let's see, who do I got? I've got Eric Geiger calling my name. I've got Audrey Mulfers calling my name. I've got Haddon Robinson calling my name. Jared Wilson calling my name. Who else do I got? I got Paul Tripp. Packer calling my name.
Wow.
Jim Sumba. I'm all over the place, man. I got Pentecostals. I got Presbyterians. I got Baptists. You know, they start talking about Jesus and how to lead people to Christ. I don't care where they come from, man. I'm all over the map here, but I'm taking them all. So anyways, yeah.
Well, yeah. So we'll be praying for you, man. Thanks, pray buddy. That your time is blessed, that you meet with the Lord in the midst of this, and that I know from going away last week, just it can be just a refreshing time just to get away and just read and connect with the Lord.
Yeah.
So praying for you.
Thanks, buddy.
Anything special upcoming this weekend? I know you mentioned a little surprise. Is that, are we?
There's a surprise this weekend. I think I'm going to leave it.
Okay.
Tune into Christ Church, 10 a.m. on Sundays.
Okay.
10 a.m. on Sunday, ChristChurchSouthPhilly.org. Or, obviously you can just watch it afterwards. But that's when it's live. And it's,
okay. Gotcha.
I'm just going to leave it like that.
Okay.
Got a little something coming.
All right. Cool. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Again, love to hear from you, Jeff or Matt at ChristChurchSouthPhilly.org. Hope you're doing well. And God bless.
God bless.